good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Coast City Comics Club podcast. It's a podcast that is a Coast City club. You know what? I'm going to fucking start that over again so it doesn't sound like I'm about to barf.
No, I love it. No, this is the thank you for tuning in to the Fox Kids Club podcast. We're going to be talking about
I'm Casey
and John.
Here's my co-host, John. I'm Casey the Fox. We're going to be...
I'm John. Am I the one who got busted by the police? I don't remember which one that was.
I don't remember either. Somebody did.
Anyways, let's talk about Sam's Italian food. Remember Sam's Foods? You didn't live anywhere near it, but if you watched the Fox Kids Club, you wanted it real bad.
Yeah, because it had Paschetti. You were like, fuck, this dude doesn't know how to pronounce spaghetti. This food must be fucking awesome.
This guy gets kid cuisine.
This guy gets us. As a kid, I also don't know how to pronounce the word spaghetti, so I'm totally in tune. Me and this guy, we're simpatico. Let's go here.
So good. Ugh. Where do you think the KC costume is? And how do we get it?
I don't know. There is some furry has fucked that suit to death. I don't want to know. Oh, is that how we're starting our podcast? Am I actually recording this? Is this really
you are
really doing this?
It's great.
I'm so sorry.
People love this content.
The tent.
But listen,
bro. The tent. It's out of control.
You're Tristan.
I am.
And this is the Coast City Comics Club, and I'm Chad, and this is also the Coast City Comics Club.
You know what? I think right there you got it. You nailed it. We're
welcome
together in this thing. So today was a long day, as you might have noticed. I'm in no fit mental state to be talking to other human beings. I spent an entire day of doing customer service in the middle of a pandemic. And my brains are not there no more. But you know what? I do want to talk about this fun comic, even though I can't name the actual issue off the top of my head.
I have it in front of me, so you're in luck.
This is the Spider-Man Annual number 10?
So close. Number 20.
I was just 10 off. It's fine. So close. So
yeah.
Fucking close.
It's from the original Amazing Spider-Man run. So this is the 20th annual, if you can imagine annuals getting to the number 20 anymore.
Oh, that's it. Because it's 20 and it's 2020 for. Oh, crikes.
You see? Ugh. That's right. And this one.
Is that really why
is,
I did that?
I don't. Maybe. I don't know. But this is the first appearance of Arno Stark, right?
I believe this is the first appearance of Arno Stark.
Right.
I don't
this
know.
This is the first appearance of Iron Man 2020, as far as I'm concerned.
I believe that the Overstreet Guide would agree with you on that particular piece of trivia.
Oh, boy. If I ever needed anything to agree with me, it's the Overstreet Guide.
Thank goodness. And the Overstreet Guide. Best buds for life.
The really aggressive gear armor.
Oh, I love it. I love that has been this like ridiculous throwback, like steampunk looking fucking armor, like just carried on. They did all of these like 2020 variants last year or coming into 2020. And it was like everything. They were like, oh, and here's the Hulk 2020. He's got gears. I'm like, oh, okay. So he's got gears
so
too.
Many.
Oh, look, it's Spider-Man 2020. Look, a fucking gear. That's great. Oh, Doctor Strange has another gear. Why does everyone need a goddamned gear? They do not.
Well, you know what's
the answer?
You know what's funny though is that they did all that, and we always remember it as the gear armor. And I don't want to Mandela effect anybody here, but there's shoulder pads. There's no big gears.
What? What is
you
happening?
Just read this?
Oh! Yeah! No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, in this issue,
he doesn't
like, I
have them.
There being gears.
Why doesn't he
there.
Have the gears?
Now,
Chad,
from what I understand,
explain
the
lack of
effect.
Gears.
Okay, it's very simple. There are Berenstain and there are Berenstain bears, and What happened was is that they activated the Super Collider, and what that did...
One of those Berenstain bears climbed into the Super Collider when it was going off.
You know which one. And
that one. Oh, fuck that one.
And now we live in a slightly different frequency. We're on, I think we're on the fifth Earth at this point. And, yes. And this one, Iron Man 2020, doesn't have gears.
We've soiled every other Earth prior to this one. So thoroughly have we soiled them that we had to replace them in their entirety.
And for the record, I don't actually believe in the Mandela effect, but I really enjoyed following Twitter accounts that did, and I did. I read a lot, so I can tell you.
Okay, well then, when were the gears introduced? Because the gears do exist in the in Arno Stark's 2020 armor. I mean,
that's a good question.
I don't know. Was that a modern, like, really recent invention?
Let me hop on a laptop and find out.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
Iron Man 2020.
Allow me to vamp about things I know about Iron Man. Okay, he carries his suit in a case. Oh, my God, it's a suitcase. Ah, fuck. I hate that. yeah, fuck.
Gotcha.
Yeah, really. No, okay, so he does, you're right, he does only have, like, the football pads on this, and he's a total tool bag, and is he even an actual Stark, is my question.
They don't answer that.
I don't think he is, because he just had a bunch of family money and bought Tony Stark's shit at an auction.
Right, but they don't really say where.
And he's a total tool bag. This guy is, like, almost useless. He's a childish weirdo who, like, roller skates around. He got the Iron Man suit that has the roller skates, which is really cool. So, I mean, honestly, if I was going to choose an Iron Man armor to have, it would be the one with roller skates, because that is the best one. Also, I would choose the nose. Iron Man armor with the roller skates and also the weird humanoid nose. Oh, and nipples. Nipples, humanoid nose, and roller skates. That's my combo pack Iron Man.
You just want a latex body cast of Robert Downey Jr. That's all you want. And just walk around in it and go, I'm Iron Man.
You could fit two Robert Downey Juniors inside me if you know what I mean. And I think you do.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about mass, right? Mass displacement.
We are talking about mass displacement. Okay. I am fucking exhausted.
How many tacos did you eat before this?
For the sake of transparency, it was three tacos, but they were crunchy tacos, and they were the type that have the little flat thing on the bottom, so you can put a half pound of taco meat into each one. So conservatively, I've eaten 6 pounds of cheese and meat, my brain is shutting down. My endocrine system has collapsed into itself, and it's over for me. This will be my final communication to the world. I want everyone to know how I feel about Iron Man of 2020. That's going to be my last will and testament is going to be
not enough nipples is the answer.
Basically, that was the one thing I wanted the world to know, is that I don't feel like Iron Man's nipples are present enough in the current costume design. And now I can move on to the next world.
All right. Good luck to you on the other side. I'll finish this. Well, now that Tristan's died, I'll continue talking.
Perfect. That'll fix
it.
Oh,
he's back. Oh, Ghost Tristan has returned.
Yes.
All right.
From beyond the veil to explain to you the nuances of Amazing Spider-Man annuals. This thing was written very shittily. I want to go on record. Not great in the dialogue department for this particular issue. I don't have any specifics. But man, do I ever remember not thinking, being like, oh, God. Also, what the fuck? I mean, I'm going to start from the end and go backwards, because this is the single.
You want to.
Well, okay, so you've really 2020'd your choices for this podcast, because not only is this a 2020 book, it is also depressing as shit. So far, you have chosen things that are bleak, horrible hellscape futures to represent the life that we are currently living in this world.
It's a lot of, I think it's a lot of, something inside me is crying out.
I can almost guarantee. Is it crying out for tacos? Because I have a little bit left.
I'm crying out for justice.
Oh, no tacos? Okay, well, fine.
That DC miniseries.
Oh my God, and he actually cried for justice. That's right.
Yes. Every panel is some character going, justice! And running at the camera.
What's that guy crying about? Oh, justice.
I mean, apparently it's justice.
This guy again crying for justice.
They should make a comic book called Crying for Justice. That's a good title.
That's not. And it was a terrible series. This book was fun. I enjoyed reading it again. I'm enjoying the fact that I can go back to older comics sometimes and actually dig them. This was an example of that where I was like, fucking 80s Spider-Man. I don't know if I can make it. This thing is like 700 pages long too, because it's an annual. And it was an interesting character arc. I mean, obviously, all of this is very simplistic stuff. It's early-ish comics compared to current writing. So you see a lot of like very simplistic choices for character, but you're actually getting a lot of the suit stuff through this. The black suit shit is coming out, and you're seeing actually a fairly subtle representation. I mean, as far as big colorful superheroes punching each other in the face can be subtle, there's this moment of like Spider-Man is pissed off and he can't see that he's massively overpowering Iron Man. He's unaware of it. He's still talking like Peter Parker, where he's like, you're Iron Man and I could never beat you, and there's no way I could ever overcome Iron Man, and I'm massively outgunned here, but I'm gonna keep fighting. And Iron Man's just getting the shit beaten out of him and his face is flying off and he's like, like his internal organs are collapsing and he's like, fuck, please stop hitting me. And it's like, I know that I'm just the underdog and I could never win a fight. And it's just like he's splattering all over the ground. And it's like, that's interestingly subtle in a non-subtle way to represent the difference between Peter and the suit and how Peter is still feeling inside the new black suit as he's, you know, powered up and extra angry and a little more violent.
Yeah. That's actually one of the reasons why it was one of my favorites when I was younger, because I always enjoyed, obviously Spider-Man's always been my favorite, but any position, and he's obviously viewed for a long time, I guess probably up until like maybe 10, 15 years ago within the Marvel Universe as being like, ugh, that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And it's like, you know, like there's even comics where he's always mentioned just like, well, the Avengers is like the adults table and they won't let me sit at it. Even though Spider-Man's like one of the coolest ones in the Marvel Universe and he tries so hard and he is really strong and powerful and smart, yada, yada, yada. But in this one, you know, you get to see him beat up a future version of Iron Man and just kick the shit out of him. Just stomps him, you know, just like, bodies him all over. Like everyone in New York's just like watching it, being like, "Holy shit, he's kicking the crap out of Iron Man!" And it's like,
yeah,
and that's you know, like this and like the Secret Wars where he beats up the X-Men by himself.
Yeah,
is like, mwah, chef's kiss to me. Like, please give me that every day, and I will watch it and read it.
It's funny because on the same token, when I was a big big Wolverine fan, I really enjoyed the Spider-Man Wolverine book that came out that was basically like, here's the like friendly neighborhood, like let's do good and try to help people, let's not hurt anybody any more than we need to in order to get our job done. And then the murder, the little troll that fucking dissects people with his fucking Ginsu hands. And so I liked that juxtaposition even though I was firmly Team Wolverine, I have always loved Spider-Man because I grew up in America. So I'm like, I have been basically indoctrinated to Spider-Man. Like I said last week, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was like, was literally forever the my touchstone for anything comics, because I was never a comic fan as a kid. Literally, my wife got me into comic books. Michelle gave
Michelle.
Seriously, Michelle gave me Watchmen and some bizarre Japanese comic from Biz called Pineapple Army. And those were the two first things that I read as like comic books as an adult. I was like 21 years old, 22. And I was like, wow, this is really, really fun. And then I read Kingdom Come. And after I read Kingdom Come, I was like, this is it. I am excited about this insanity. Like, you can do this in comic books? Oh, I thought it was just stupid. And it's like, no, that's just comics like this particular one.
This one's a trip.
It is. And it isn't actually a stupid comic. It is a little, it's got fun Marvel stuff. It's got lots of fun jokey, you know, like, again, Arno zipping around inside Tony Stark's house with the roller skates on and his like his version of Jarvis being like, come on, you've got to put away the roller skates and you've got to meet with the investors. The military's coming and they want to see your destroy the entire planet bomb. Maybe don't build the destroy the entire planet bomb. And this is how you get a cure
to make his time machine. He needs the money.
This was a bad idea all around. I love how the end panel is basically like the end of Akira. It's like Neo Tokyo devastated by a shockwave. It's just a big pile of ash and big concentric circles going outward.
That's a great panel.
That's
probably one of the things I remember. The second thing I remember from reading this when I was younger is that last panel is just like, it's such a depressing ending. But let me just say what the actual book's about real quick.
Please.
Let's just give a quick synopsis, if we will, just in case you're listening to this and you haven't read the book yet, which if you haven't, you're a damn fool. All right, let's get that out of the way.
I have like 20 copies at the store. I'll have to drag those out so people can buy them.
Come by and grab one. So in this one, we pick up in the year 2020, the far away year 2020. It seems seemingly better than 2020, so there's that.
For a minute,
it's okay before this tragedy happens. Arno Stark is Iron Man. It doesn't appear to be the same Arno Stark that we have now. It's somebody else.
Yeah, for some reason I remember this Arno Stark dying in a later comic, but I could be wrong.
Hey, who knows, man? I mean, anything's possible with this.
Yeah.
And he's basically still very much Iron Man. He's rich. He's famous. He's up for Man of the Year. He's building a time machine. He's still making weapons for the government because he needs money to finish his time machine. He doesn't spend any time with his wife and kids. They're mad at him. His assistant is simply known as Hawk,
Oh man, if it was one of the Road Warriors, that would be the best.
It would have been way better.
Or if it was Stallone from that movie where he kidnaps his son and drives across the country in a giant big rig.
That's the Criterion Collection's Over the Top.
That is
what you're thinking of.
Yes.
The greatest arm wrestling trucker movie ever made.
It's in the top 10, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. He gets a threat from his assistant, Hawk, not Road Warrior Hawk, tells him that there's going to be a terrorist attack. They know who the terrorist is ahead of time. And
really?
That person sneaks in.
Oh,
yeah, he
right,
knows
they
his
do.
Full name.
And he's a Deathlok, right? I mean,
he looks a lot like a Deathlok.
He's
yes.
a Deathlok. He's clearly a Deathlok.
Sure.
I mean, that is Marvel's go-to for, like, he's got Terminator shit on his head and and everything. He's just an old guy. He's just not a rotting corpse.
Yeah, there is that.
They've and, perfected Deathlok stuff, and now you don't need to be like a gray corpse.
I guess, yeah, that's true. Because they show why he gets mangled anyways in this issue. But so this terrorist, who they already know the name of, and they know he's coming, still manages to sneak in, set off the bomb, and then steals one of their scooters, and then has no intention of actually setting it off. He's going to stop it. And then Iron Man kills him. And then they realize that the only way to stop the bomb is to get a retina scan.
Jesus.
So he says, thank God I've got a time machine. And he goes back in time, and he finds him as a little boy, and that's where we run into Spider-Man protecting this child.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all... This is one of those, like, case of... of, you know, wrong identity kind of issues where in comics it's mildly infuriating. In a movie, this makes you want to just like strangle somebody when basically people show up and they're like, nope, don't explain. I know you're Iron Man and everything's cool, but let me tell you what's going on. I know that there's a child in danger and all this. Nope, I'm going to destroy whatever machine you're holding, regardless of what it is. Could be a bomb, could be a grenade, don't fucking care. I'm just going to do these things and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, 3 seconds of actual communication could have fixed all of this. And that is...
everything.
That is such cheap writing. I hate it. But in comics, somehow you can get around that. When it's in a movie, it makes you insane. Because you know that there's a round table of 15 people who were like, what about if maybe we actually wrote a plot? You know, man, just it seems like maybe that might be cool. fuck that. But with a comic, you're like, okay, they had a month to get this fucking thing out. You know, like he had probably 5 days to write it and all this shit. I give comics a pass a lot of times on that kind of stuff. But it is like... it is one of those plot points that's just infuriating. So he basically beats the shit out of this guy who he assumes is Iron Man of the Avengers without asking him what he's doing.
Right. But also Arno doesn't really tell him either. Like he never stops and goes, hey, you're Spider-Man. I'm from the future. Could we not, you know, just for like a second. And, like, Spider-Man thinks a lot of reasonable thoughts, but he never says them. He's always like, man, Iron Man's acting really weird. I wonder what's going on. Wow, he's, like, blowing up buildings. That's not like him at all. How strange. I guess I'll just keep swinging. And it's like, Pete, just talk to the man.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like... well, I mean, it is, like, say you lived in a big exaggerated version of this. You live in the DC universe. You're in Metropolis in the DC universe. Superman comes by and he's got a kid in his arms and he sets him down and he pulls out a little thing from his utility belt thing and he's like putting it up to his eye. Would you go, fuck, Superman's trying to kill that kid? Like, you know, Iron Man, you guys have hung out. Like, you would know that he's not going to murder this child with this weird little screwdriver.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because I remember it as a kid, like, thinking back on it, that he was trying to kill him.
Yeah, that's how I remember. Out. Total Mandela effect. He had those things.
Because yeah. I think we just found the origin of the Mandela effect. I'm not going to... it might be this annual.
There's another issue that ties in with this one where he has the gears. I'm positive of this.
We'll have to look this up, or someone will tell us, I'm sure. But,
oh yeah, we'll definitely be told afterwards.
Yeah, it's all very strange. Because, I mean, I guess you could say, like, he's a jerk, and Spidey's got the black suit, so he's kind of a jerk,
right,
too.
Exactly. So he is...
a perfect storm of jerks.
Yep. Yeah. And also, Arno is just kind of I would say that he's an idiot, but he's capable of inventing a time machine. So he does have the skills of a Tony Stark. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's all just very strange. But still, a cool story, nonetheless. Like, very tragic Because, spoiler, he doesn't make it in time.
because Spider-Man, essentially Spider-Man kills an entire gigantic city by fighting Iron Man. Iron Man cannot, Arno Stark cannot make it back to, like, when he goes back to the future, he has a set amount of time. It's like Cable's thing that, like, at this moment, it's going to slingshot you back to your time. And so he just has to get stuff accomplished in this amount of time. He can't get the retinal scan in time. He goes back and realizes that the entire city is just rubble. Well, not even rubble. It's ash. Like I said, it looks like somebody was furrowing crops in big circles. You know, like somebody's going to plant corn in like big round mounds. It's bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that includes his wife and kid in the future, too.
Man, yeah. what a depressing ending for a Spider-Man comic.
Sorry, guys.
I mean, it is definitely notable for that. And it's that kind of tonal shift that happened in the 90s, you know? It's all that stuff.
This was 86.
Yeah,
was when this came out.
Well, that was what we were talking about with the last one that was mid 80s, where that shift was starting to take place slowly, where it's like you add a little dab of Dark Knight into everything and you're like, how about just a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of that Frank Miller Daredevil run, a little bit more of the Death of Elektra. And you're like, ooh, boy, that sold a lot of copies. Maybe somebody else dies. I don't know. Maybe we, you know.
The kicker is, though, that you and I both remember this one, though.
Yes, that is true.
I guess there's something to that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and that is the truth, is that this issue is memorable. It really is. It's basically, it's a weird thing to do to Spider-Man as a character. Because it's as though we know that Spider-Man has inadvertently, you know, it's manslaughter, but still inadvertently caused the deaths of 9 million people, something like that. I think is what they quote at the end. Something like 9 million people. And so he has this mass murder in his background that he doesn't know about. In another timeline, in another universe, essentially.
Yep.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think it was like 99% success rate for death.
Yeah.
And like earlier in the comic when they tested it, it was only like 86, and the military was, and of course the military was like, well, that 86 isn't good enough for a death rate. Did you kill people a little bit better?
Yeah. Yeah, it was called like the planet killing missile or something like that.
Planet bomb, yeah.
Yeah. 89% of vegetation destroyed by flash burn. 11% was destroyed by radiation. 86% of animal life. Oh, yeah, so everything is dead. It's just that the impact killed 86%, and then the radiation later killed the rest of the 14%.
Yes, those that were still living definitely envied the dead
at
that point.
Wow. Jesus.
I will say, though, if one thing I thought was neat about future predictions, if you actually look at the first or second page when they're taking pictures of him, not that far off on what cameras, you know, like,
oh, that's
it's got
true.
A screen, it, you know, it's got its own screen where you can see the picture, it's got viewfinder. Shit. It's like, it's a little bulky, but here, I'll
you're right,
see it on there.
No, that's dead on.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty
not
good.
not a bad prediction. Yeah, hey, you know, not bad.
Hey,
I must say,
hey, you're not bad there.
Because it was Meacham, I think, did this, right?
You got me,
I
man.
I want to say.
Bob Weixick is the penciler, so.
Oh, is he?
Oh, Mark Beecham is the main penciler. The cover was done
by
Bob Weixick.
Okay, so it was Beecham. All right.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, man. Comic books. Why bother? The world is going to be like this anyway. We already know from this comic that we're headed to be destroyed by Arno Stark anyway.
That's fine. At this point, just do it.
Just do it.
I don't care. There are some great scenes involving Pete, though, actually, in this one. I really enjoyed him trying to sneak out of his apartment. And I don't know if you caught it earlier, but I shared one of those panels on the Instagram page of
yes, I saw that.
Where he's trying to sneak out. His landlord's out in the hallway, and he owes her rent in New York, which was like $275.
Yeah. It was that big like, New York City $275.
Good God. I need to go back in time to 1986 is what I need to do.
Don't we all?
No, but he tries that. So his landlord's out there. He can't do that. He tries going through the skylight, but unfortunately his supermodel neighbors.
two super hot supermodels are up on the roof sky. Sunbathing. Like, wow.
And he's like, I can't come out as Spider-Man there. So there's a shot of him just sitting on the toilet without his mask on. It just says, well, now what?
Okay. Yeah. And his solution to this is very elegant. Because he can't go up on the roof that way, he goes down the hall that way, dressed completely as Spider-Man, runs into somebody that Pete knows.
Yeah.
It was elegant. It was an elegant solution to a complex problem.
Listen, it's arguably New York is the second Spider-Man, as they always say.
Yes, I've in this always case, said that.
They're just playing off the fact that New York is such a kind of town.
That's what you're going to see if you're in New York, guys.
Yeah, you know, it's some gabagool wearing a Spider-Man costume walking around.
Rat
no
carries
deal.
Off a baby. Spider-Man walks down your hallway in your apartment building. What are you going to do?
Hey, greatest city on earth. That's what I say.
Yeah, that was pretty classic. When he goes into Mary Jane's apartment, maybe one of the worst pieces of art in this entire issue is the one time
weird.
That you see Mary Jane and her body conservatively is her waist
giraffe-like.
Is maybe 6 inches around in its entirety. And she's maybe 7.5 feet tall, something like that. She takes up the entire panel. She's bent in four different sections. She's got an arc to her knees. She's got a bend to her back. She's got a bend to her neck. That's like, she is like bent into a crazy like pretzel shape.
Do you remember that Looney Tunes episode where Daffy Duck was like insulting the animator and he kept like erasing parts and putting different ones on?
Yes.
That's her pose. That
very much is. Yeah.
Like she looks very, very strange.
Yeah. She looks like a Looney Tunes character that went down a pipe and came out the shape of the pipe.
yes.
Yeah. Not great. But the rest of the art is pretty passable. You know, again, for an annual. Back in these days, annuals were like, you know, this is where we throw our trash.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely like tryouts.
Yeah, a lot of them were tryouts, yes.
Yeah, and I will say Meacham's like very bold with his Spider-Man poses in this.
Yeah. I like
Spider-Man. The way he draws. Yeah, I mean, but he's just like so over contorted and just like in such weird positions. And I will say actually also when Arno has his roller skates on.
Yeah.
Like he definitely has like that very sassy Shawshade way that he's it's I love it. Don't get me wrong. No. I think it's great. And then Spidey dances with a drunk homeless guy, you know, when he's singing
does.
In the streets.
Yeah. I mean that moment you know, Spidey, you're really showing your privilege in that moment where you're like, look at me. I've got enough money to pay my rent to the homeless guy on the street. Nice.
He got him
real
off the booze, though.
Fucking nice, Spidey. That's
he got him
just
off the booze.
Gross.
The guy said he was never going to drink again afterwards.
Oh, I forgot about the every 60s drunk in a sci-fi movie moment that he had.
I'm like, that's it. I'm out of this.
I just saw a flying saucer, throw it over my shoulder, rub my eyes. I'm never going to drink again. Yep.
And then he grew up to be Arno Stark.
That man grew up to be Arno Stark. Man, Terminator was right. The future stretches out before us like a dark highway at night.
It's so true.
What the fuck that meant.
I think about that all the time.
Actually, I do. Whenever I think about somebody woodenly reading a line, I think about that line from Terminator. The future stretches out before me like a dark highway at night. If a Terminator can find true love, maybe we can all find true love, and it'll be a great Valentine's Day for us all. Now that we've been dating the Terminator for over 3 months. Oh my God, fuck.
Yeah.
Way to end your exciting sci-fi movie on a on a snooze. Maybe they were afraid that people were going to be too jazzed leaving the theaters. And they were like, whoa, we got to bring people down or they're going to kill each other.
It's true. I mean, when you give a thumbs up as you go into molten metal, you know, people are pretty jacked up at that point.
It's like
they're
when
like,
I
what
saw
a party.
Like when I saw Bad Brains, they were like, everybody was going crazy, and then they were like, "Hold, everybody, stop killing each other. We're gonna play a reggae song." And then they'd go back, and everybody'd start murdering each other. And they're like, "You guys are out of control. Hold on, calm down, people. Another reggae song," and it works. And that's the reggae song of Terminator 2. Oh my God, Chad! You know,
yes,
I feel like even though we were supposed to tease it and never ever tell anyone this story,
yeah,
I think you should tell the story of the weird that horrifying night when you were almost murdered by those people in the back alley.
Okay, all right. So this was at the old Coast City space.
Yes.
Now the merchant company. These were like the dark 2020 times.
These were.
All right.
These were the dark 2006 times.
Yeah, I mean we had people coming in, just absolute crazy people coming into the store all the time.
It was a different world. It was the number of people who were either visibly or extremely intoxicated, extremely mentally ill, like the number of those people outweighed the average customer back in those days. And that is not an exaggeration. Like it absolutely is not an exaggeration to say that we had more people who were problematic, like in one way or another, because they were falling down drunk, because they were like
breaking stuff,
just there to shop,
stealing,
just like it was insane. And like David now is constantly like calling me on being a paranoid lunatic, because I'm always like, there people are stealing from me, you know. There's still a quote that he holds over my head, because I'm like, I had bought so many fucking Sharpies. I literally bought like 100 Sharpies. And and so I just kept putting them out and they kept fucking vanishing. And I'm like, ugh, fucking kids are stealing all the Sharpies to tag shit. And he's like, fucking kids stealing my Sharpies. Oh, the children are out there and they're stealing our Sharpies. You just lost the fucking Sharpies. He's probably right. And I am probably a lunatic now from the things that I've seen on Conger Street back when things were terrible. But it is also true to say that like the majority of people I know who had to work on Conger Street during those periods, I mean, going back to the 90s, even like those people are they're crazy. And I have a bit of that deep down crazy that I have gotten from this. You know, people who worked for me, who had worked on the street, got a little crazy. We have a lot of crazy people that were created by having to deal with a nonstop onslaught of what was coming off Congress Street back in the old days.
Absolutely. No, it was a very wild time. I look back on it fondly, but there was definitely some stressful situations like this one. So the way the building was... I don't want to say built because that sounds stupid, but structured. Anyways, there was an alley, a very thin alley that went behind the whole building, and it kind of formed a triangle. So you would go up at an angle, and then you would take another sharp angle back down, and then you would hit our back door, which was in a very tight, confined space. That was our back alley. You couldn't get a car back there. You could get a car near it, but you couldn't get the car near the door. And at the time, we still had the separation between the two stores.
Yeah. Back in the day, so we were Coast City Comics and the Funbox Monster Emporium. I was the Funbox Monster Emporium, and Gerald von Stoddard was Coast City Comics.
And Tony at first, too.
Yes, true.
And then, yeah, and I usually floated in between both of them, is usually what I did.
Only Gerald paid you and I didn't. So, sorry, Gerald.
At first. Yeah. Until Gerald went, hey! Finally, but... I was sitting on the Coast City side, which had, you know, had like some shelves behind me, and then like another very just tiny, awkward space to move in the back.
It was originally a kitchen.
It was originally a kitchen, and so it had like a bunch of cabinets, but it was very tight. And then there was like a little hallway that would lead over to your side, but you had the T-shirt printer dryer.
Yep, I had.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
My conveyor was blocking that area because it was venting out through this gigantic kitchen industrial fan that was installed.
That's right. And then there was a tiny stairwell that led down to that basement, which is a whole nother story in itself.
Sure,
we're not even going to get into that. Needless to say, there was a bloody handprint down there for a while, and we'll get to that one.
And some
day.
Chicken feet.
Yeah, I feel like we should call Gerald and have him do that over the phone and record it. But that was...
But then he'd have to answer for the cleansing ritual that he did before the store opened. I would definitely bring him to task for having that person do. You know what? We're bringing up stuff. Someone's gonna want to know the answer. Someone's gonna want to know that we had a crazy ritual done at the old store where we wound up with a weird handprint on my back wall forever because maybe we found some weird voodoo stuff in the basement when we moved in, and there were some chicken feet and some other shit kind of everywhere in the basement. So,
yeah,
you know, Gerald was a little wigged out. Gerald was a born again Christian at the time, and I respect him. I don't mean to shit on his belief system, but that whole thing was fucking crazy.
Yeah. He only told me stories about it, and it was absolutely bonkers. All I know is that someone was down there, like, speaking in tongues and rolling around in glass, and that's really all I heard about it.
It was good, because I feel like when he came up, Gerald was like, Gerald knew that he was like, I think Gerald set out to be like, hey, I'm gonna get somebody with some sage and do a little hippy dippy whatever. And somebody was like, hey, I do that kind of stuff. Let me come over. I'll bring some sage. And then he winds up speaking in tongues on the floor, rolling in glass. So that's fucking.
But hey, I didn't run into any evil spirits at the shop, did you?
You know what? I didn't. It was only actual normal people trying to kill us.
Well, I don't know if there's a ritual for that one.
there but, isn't.
Okay. All right. So anyways, I'll get back to this. So the alleyway is very awkward. You would have to deliberately want to go into that alleyway to get back to the door. There's not really, you don't really come across it. You know what I mean? It's not like you have to know where it is.
You absolutely
to go down.
Have to walk into that alley specifically because there's nothing else there. It's literally just like there's a way in from the street. And then if you go there, that's all there is there. So you're literally basically it's a good place to probably hide from the police. Honestly, is really
it's a
really
great place.
Yeah, because you can't drive a
it's
cruiser
a dope place
down
to
there.
Hide from the police. Right. And then behind us, behind where we had the register set up, it was a very tight, awkward space. Like I said, we had a T-shirt dryer, which is, you know, weighs tons, just dumping T-shirts out. And then we were all slobs, so we had all of the cardboard and trash piled up.
We had like 3 weeks worth of cardboard recycling, which in a comic shop is a great deal of cardboard. And we had like, I think like 3 or 4 trash bags, some of which were actual trash, to be quite, you know, to put it all out on the table. I'm pretty sure that some of those were actual trash bags and not recycling, but.
Oh yeah. 100%. And for the reasons why, one, because we were slobs, but two, also because we didn't have a dumpster.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to use the... We weren't allowed by our landlord to throw our trash out. So we had to get, drag it out, bring it to a car, and then take it away.
Right. And as I just mentioned, you can't really get a car to the back door. It's very awkward. So you have to go up and down this like Tetris-like alley to get over there. And as we've mentioned before, we sure as hell can't use the city's trash cans. So that is why we had this huge pile of just junk back there. So I'm over there. All of a sudden, I hear some very loud knocks on this door. And this is the back door to this place was clearly one that was installed because people had broken in.
Yeah, this was a one of those
thick steel door,
big steel fire door, like real real heavy duty. And Gerald had just left for the night prior to this, and he had left like 10 minutes ago. So we were like, we heard these knocks, and you were like, oh shit. Gerald wants to take
it's probably
cycle.
Gerald. Yeah.
It's time to get the fucking, get all this crap out of here.
Yeah. And I can only open up the door so much because there's cardboard there. So it's just a little bit open. And then I literally see five goons just standing there.
Yeah. They were five goons. That is true.
And I'm like, hi, can I help you? And they're like, oh yeah, you can help us. All right. And I went, yeah. And they went, yeah. Why don't you let us in? Huh? And I was just like, no. Like that, I just shut the door and just slammed it and like pushed all the cardboard up against it. And you're like, what the hell's that? And I was like, I don't know. And I like grabbed an Allen wrench and like locked the door. And I'm like, there's legit goons out back. Like,
yeah.
Because before that, the place was,
oh,
it was that guy who was now the guy who sold like those weird Native American sculptures or something.
Now we
it?
Have to go into this. All right. Okay. So
who is? Because it
firstly,
was really dicey, wasn't
there
it?
Was one. There was one part of this that you're forgetting, which was which was when the guy was like, "Hey, what if I told you that was my jacket?"
And he was pointing
to Tony's sweatshirt on, and you were like, "I'd say you're wrong because that belongs to Tony who works here." Yeah. And he was like, "Why don't you let me in?" And you were like, "No, slam."
Yeah, I'm only confident if I have a mountain of cardboard in front of me. That's the only way.
It was a good thing.
Then I'll get mouthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was just one instance of like the past of that location kept coming back to haunt us.
I feel like I
like,
need to
just goons. People would come in like looking like being really shifty, like clearly on drugs.
That's my favorite.
Not to be too judgmental, but when someone comes in just constantly wiping their nose and going, Steve here? And I go, there's no Steve here. And they go, what do you mean? What store is this? And you're just like, you're like, dude, it's a comic shop now. I don't know who was here before. I don't care. Like,
I don't have anything to do with that.
Buy a Spider-Man, go buy a Ghostbuster from Tristan and get the hell out. Okay. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I feel like I have to address this one. I don't know why. This is my favorite Coast City story.
All right.
Like, far and away. Because no matter how you cut it, it felt like I was in the middle of a dream. So, it's late at night. Tony and I are the only ones there. And somebody rings the, like, opens the door. I hear the chime go off. They're going into Coast City, and this guy who is I can't describe him any other way. He was a 1970s caricature of a pimp with a prostitute with him. The two of them came in. They were straight up like they were dressed like they were in like Superfly. It was shocking to look at. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And so he saunters up to the counter, and he's like, hey, he's talking to Tony. Hey, I hear this is a place where somebody can unload a bunch of furs. And Tony was like, no, we sell comics. And he's like, yeah. And then he walks out, doesn't say another fucking word. And Tony and I just look at each other and we're like, what the fuck just happened? What kind of a cartoon am I living in that this kind of shit constantly happens to me. Am I in a coma? Is it possible? I still wonder that on a regular basis. If I am in a coma, and I have been since like 1993, it would explain so much about my life.
Yep. I remember once I just told Gerald was like freaking out about something, and I just looked at him and I went, "Everything in your life up until this point has been pretend." And he just looked at me and he went, "Oh, thank fucking God."
Yeah, you wish, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Now my favorite one from you though, the one you told me was the McDonald's one. That is, I love that one so much.
Oh shit. I don't know if I'm gonna get it right if I try to tell it. Okay. So, all right. So one day we're, you know, normal Cuckoo Bananas character comes in off the street. He's got a bunch of half-eaten McDonald's food and he's like drinking a soda and he's got a bag and he's like wandering in like a monster. And he's like looking around. And I'm like, man, no food or drink in the store, dude. Like, come on. And he goes, okay. He puts it outside. Or no, he puts it down in the store, like on something.
He puts it on the counter.
Yeah, he put it on the counter.
He put it on your glass case, yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine, whatever, fuck it. I guess that's how this is going to be. And then he leaves without it. And I'm like, I'm sitting on this food that's sitting on my counter for like 15 minutes, and I'm like, I'm not going to throw his food away, but I'm not going to leave it in the store. So I put it out on the curb and I'm just like, okay, whatever. He comes back and he's like, "Hey, where's my food, man?" And I was like, dude, I didn't know you were coming back. I put it out on the curb and he runs to the door and he looks back at me and he's like, "I'm never eating here again." And then walks out. It's like, again, am I living a cartoon?
Maybe. I'm never eating here again.
I'm never eating here again.
I love that.
Is the best review of Coast City, I think, that I can think of. In my memory, I think that was my favorite. I'm never eating here again.
I love that so much. Yeah, because I remember when we had free coffee for a while, too.
We did.
On the coast. We had a coffee bar at the Coast City side, and we had the couches.
Both terrible mistakes.
Terrible idea. Well, they weren't terrible ideas. It just wasn't the right place for it.
It wasn't the right place or time for it. I mean, honestly, yeah. Coast City now, we could do what we were doing then. I still think, even though David would probably have a heart attack if I said this, I think we could have a couch at Coast City without, you know, obviously pandemic aside, let's, you know, removing that.
Right.
I think we could have a couch there without it turning into a thing the way that it did at the old location. At the old location.
Yeah, it got real bad.
It got real bad. Literally like the teen center emptied out into Coast City. And like, we just wound up with people just like hanging out with their like crust punk dogs barfing on our floor and shit. And it was like,
yeah,
it was so bad.
Well, it's like people were like they were coming in and just sleeping on it. And it was just
that
like,
was happening.
Yeah. Like no shoes on, like bare feet on the like public couch, just sleeping on it. And I remember that was when Tony had to like kick them out.
Yeah. Tony kicked somebody out who was like, he was like, "Dude, you have no shoes on. You got to leave." And he's like, "I don't have money for shoes." And he was like, "If you don't have money for shoes, what the fuck are you doing in a store?"
I believe he said, "You don't have money for shoes, then you don't have money for comics."
That's sure. That
and
was
he kicked him out. Yep. And then Ebenezer Tony kicked him out.
Oh my God.
That was
yep. He died in a snowbank that same day. No, this
and then
was
Tony
middle,
said,
that
good.
Was the middle of summer. God. Yeah, it's
sometimes
exhausting.
We'll have to talk about all the times it leaked, too, but that'll be.
Oh, God. There are so many traumas from that location.
Yeah. I remember specifically just every time we heard water rushing, all of a sudden we'd all be like,
"Everybody grab the tubs. Cover everything.
Just waiting. You know, just like, do you hear any drips? Do you hear anything? You know, it's just like, Because water would, the pipes and the plumbing and everything in that place was garbage. Well, and every once in a while, it would just flood, and it would just come right through the ceiling.
Yeah, and, I mean, to be fair, that was also drunks and drug addicts falling asleep in their bathtubs.
Yeah, that so that as well.
That was kind of a big deal. Was just that they would nod off while they were in the bathtub, and it would overflow, and then, there were so many ridiculous things.
That's a whole other time. That's a whole other time. Jesus. But yeah, that happened a lot.
Coast City. Oh, good memories. Oh shit. Well, you know what? I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Still the best job I ever had. I'll say that.
It was pretty fun. You know, the place is really fun when we can manage to have multiple employees.
Yeah.
Now that I don't have the money to even have David halftime, it's way less fun. But
it's just you behind plexiglass just wondering when you're gonna die.
That's yeah, exactly. I'm like, which one of these fucking plague bearers is gonna be the one that does me in? I don't know. It could be anybody. We'll see.
Is it you? Is it you? Or is it you?
Is it you, the audience?
Turns out it was man.
Oh,
and that was it.
Fuck. It always is. Well, thanks, guys. You can follow us at the Funbox Monster Podcast, at the Coast City Comics Club, at Coast City Comics, at Funbox Monster, and at Actually Comics. And wow, Jesus, is that... Oh, and at Rad Wraith, fucking 6 Instagram accounts.
Woo!
Woo!
Building that brand.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Diluting that brand.
Listen, and only one of them is a subversive QAnon account.
That's
okay?
True.
So
that's
pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay.
Oh, God. Yes, and also, buy things at Coast City Comics, for fuck's sake. Go onto our website. Use it. Tell your friends. Tell the world. Rate and review us. Do those things. And if you want us to break these podcasts off, I'll do it. I know we're grabbing bandwidth from the Actually channel, and I know that this is at least about comics, you know. So we're kind of talking about comics. So it's kind of a similar thing. We're going to be doing more stuff. We're going to be adding to some of this shit because, you know, I wasn't wasting enough of my life. I think we're going to try adding some video elements to some of these too. So I'm kind of interested in trying that out.
Boy.
Oh yeah.
Boy, I'm glad I cut my hair.
Yes. Right. So we got some of that coming up. Rad Wraith is out. Funbox Monster Magazine. I'm just about to start working on another issue of that. So that'll be coming out soon.
That's exciting.
What other things? Jesus, I know there's more stuff, but follow us. It's fun. We're doing things. We're trying to actually do things in Portland. It's so hard.
Trying. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys. Have a good evening, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That looks like my jacket.